Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have a bar that we set for ourselves, right? A certain standard that we want to live up to. For myself, well, I'm a type A person. And so I like things to be organized. I literally cannot focus. I literally cannot get to work if there is just clutter around, right? Cluttered desk, cluttered mind. And so when I come to the office, whether it's here or in Chestnut, and what I'll do is I will make sure everything is sort of tidied up and I have space on my desk and I can just sort of spread out the things that I need to work on like immediately in front of me. You know, maybe one little pile of things to do, but if there's too much on the desk, I just can't focus. Now, once it's organized, I can get to work. Along the same lines, when I leave the office, I make sure everything is cleared off the desk, that everything's ready for me to come in the next day. Here's the deal, though. As much as I like to be organized, I know that's not the case with everybody. Some people might be, dare I say, messy. Heaven forbid, someone is messy. There are some who might not share my love of cleanliness and organization. To be honest, I set a pretty high bar in that regard. And the truth is, that's fine. The truth is, we all have bars we'd set for ourselves. The only issue is that so often when we set a bar for ourselves, we decide that we also want to set that bar for somebody else. You know, I've only served as pastor here for a little over 2 years at this point. But I'll tell you, I think for some reason being a type A person is divinely inspired. I don't know why. It's probably just the sin that exists within me. But I want everybody else to live up to my bar. That's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. I can't expect everyone to be just as organized as I am. And it's the same for all of us across the board. You see, when we set these bars and we expect other people to jump over our personal bar, what we do is we're making ourselves superior to them. Or at least that's how we perceive ourselves. For myself, I struggle with thinking maybe my lifestyle, my organization is superior to somebody who is more messy. And it's not true. And so what sort of bar do you set for yourself? And the truth is that it's probably a bar that you can jump over and many others cannot. Do you set a bar that you expect others to meet? For instance, you might expect other people to dress a certain way. And if they don't dress as nicely as you, or if they don't dress appropriately, then all of a sudden you start to think, I am superior to them. Maybe you expect people to act a certain way. Maybe you expect people to speak a certain way. If they don't speak like me, or if they speak like somebody who I perceive a lower class speaks like, then all of a sudden I become better than them. The truth is that we do this all the time. We set bars for ourselves and we jump over them, and when other people's fail to accomplish the task, we automatically exalt ourselves. We lift ourselves up. We look down at them and think that they are lesser than us. See, it doesn't matter who you are, what you say, or what you do. The truth is that you are a sinner. You're born that way. And it means that as a sinner, you will constantly try to lift yourself up over other people. You'll lift yourself to a specific standard, and then you'll play what's called the better than game. Well, at least I'm better than so-and-so. Right? For us people who, you know, maybe aren't caught in some sort of gross sin of our world, we'll say, well, at least I'm better than a petty thief. To which the petty thief will then think to himself and say, well, at least I'm better than a murderer. To which the murderer will then think to himself and say, well, at least I'm better than a serial killer. And then the serial killer will think to himself and say, well, at least I'm better than Adolf Hitler. Right? Because everybody's better than him. We'll set a bar. We'll set a standard so that we can make ourselves seem better than somebody else, so that we can exalt ourselves. It's just like this tax collector, the Pharisee and the tax collector in our parable, right? What does the Pharisee do? Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, adulterers, I'm better than those people. Or even this tax collector. And then he goes into this bargaining mode with God. Just to prove it to you, Lord, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. God, look how good I am. You ought to listen to my prayer. See, the tax collector sets a bar, or the Pharisee here sets a bar for himself. And he easily jumps over it so that he can condemn this tax collector, so that God will look at the tax collector and say, yep, he is a sinner, and you, Pharisee, you are a great person. But what does the tax collector do? See, he is one who realizes that he has missed the bar. He can't jump over it. And he's not just talking about any bar, but the tax collector comes face to face with the fact that God has set a bar for him. God has set a standard for him. He calls them the Ten Commandments. And the truth is that the tax collector, you know, tax collectors in Jesus' time often sort of skimmed off the top to take a little bit of money for themselves. You know, tax collectors were hated amongst the people. And there is no way he can wriggle out of the fact that he has failed. He has failed to meet God's bar. And he is so ashamed of himself that he won't even lift his eyes to heaven. You see, he knows he is a sinner who cannot meet God's expectations, the perfection standard. That is what God says. That is what he expects. He expects perfection. And so all this tax collector can do is ask for mercy. You see, we need to be like the tax collector. We need to take our confession of sin that happened just here on Sunday morning, just a moment ago, but we need to take this confession and take it with us outside the church. Realize that we are no better or no worse than anyone else in this world. Every single human being on this planet is a sinner. I'm no better than anybody else. I don't care if it's a drug dealer. I don't care if it's a thief. I don't care if it's a homeless man begging on the corner. The truth is that you are no better. And neither am I. We're all sinners. None of us deserve to lift our eyes to heaven. But that's when we come to the best part about this text. The tax collector goes down to his house justified. That means he was declared innocent of his sin. For if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it is God who is faithful and just. It is God who can be perfectly obedient to the only bar that matters, the bar of God's holy law. You see, that is exactly why your Savior Jesus came into this world. Jesus, God Himself, came into the world so that He could live up to the perfection standard, so that He could follow every single point of the law, fulfilling it for us, so that He could do what none of us could, live a perfect life. Jesus never stuck His nose in the air at anyone. Not once did He exalt Himself. See, Jesus was the only one who had that right. Jesus, the only one who ever looked perfect, who ever was perfect. And by all stretch, He could have acted just like this Pharisee, saying, "Well, I'm glad I'm not like those people who gather at Christ Lutheran Church. God, thank You for making me perfect." But that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't condemn you to exalt Himself. But instead, He comes as the lowly one. He comes looking more like the tax collector. And in fact, that's exactly who He becomes. Because Jesus sets aside His perfection to take all of your sin. That's what He does on the cross. He bleeds for you. He dies for you. He takes on all of your sin, becoming the biggest sinner of all time. Maximum sinner, Jesus Christ. He is the biggest sinner the world has ever known. The worst murderer. The most unfaithful as far as adulterers go. The biggest thief. Jesus has sold more drugs than anyone in the world because all of the sins of this world are counted against Him. And that includes your sins. See, Jesus does all of this for you. He gives up His life so that when God sees Him, He sees the maximum sinner. And when God sees you, He sees perfection. He sees someone who has jumped the bar of the Ten Commandments. Not because of your own righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness. Not because of your holiness, but because you have been made holy and innocent and pure by the power of the Holy Spirit. As He comes to you through baptism, through the Word, even today as we receive the Lord's Supper, you are counted innocent. And this Jesus who comes to humbly die for the sins of the world then becomes the most exalted. Because the truth is that it doesn't do us any good if Jesus just dies. But we have that stamp of approval that yes, Jesus' sacrifice was good for you when Jesus is raised from the dead. You see, God proves that His sacrifice was sufficient. Because Jesus is raised back to life, exalted to the most high place. The one who is the most humble becomes the greatest, seated at the right hand in power and glory. My friends, if you want to take away the kernel of truth from today's sermon, the truth is that we all have personal standards. You might look better than someone else outwardly. But the truth is that you're all sinners, myself included. And on our own, we all fail to meet the bar God has set. But thanks be to God that we are not alone. You need not lift yourself up over one another like the Pharisee. For Jesus has already met the bar of God's law for you. And the truth is that He's even exceeded it. He has lifted you up through His bloody death and His glorious resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.